Phil Rogers is a great English major. Phil, MLB.com, nice to have you with us. How are you?
Hey, I thought you were just going to say applicable.
Yeah,
I didn't know you were going to go to
apocalyptical.
Apocalyptical.
Boy, Henry, you know, Henry uses these big words, but I guess that means it's not the end of the world for Pence, I guess. But Phil is with us, MLB.com. Always a pleasure to have you on. And I just have been watching the Central, and, you know, obviously the Milwaukee Brewers have Eric Thames, and what a story he is. Cincinnati hits home runs all over the place. They're starting to look a little bit better. Pittsburgh's got a little bit better pitching now. The Cubs are hitting home runs last night. Rizzo with two out hits a three-run bomb to get back in the game. The Cardinals pitching looks okay, but boy, the bullpen imploded. So I said, I got to get Phil on to put some sense to this National League Central as to what's going on.
Well, thanks for that. And, you know, I think the Cubs have just kind of been treading water out of the gate. The rest of the division, you know, Pittsburgh is a team I actually thought Pittsburgh would be tougher than the Cardinals. But, you know, half a season with Starling Marte on suspension, that's a really rough prescription for them, given that Jung Ho Kang, who's probably their third best hitter, maybe, is also unavailable to them, still in Korea. So, you know, to me, it looks like a division the Cubs should run away with. And I see no reason to really react to anything the Cubs have done. I mean, they're still extremely healthy. You know, they're actually starting to win close games, which last year, even though they won 103 games, they were one game under 500 in one-run games. You know, I like their bullpen. Wade Davis, you know, certainly having a full year of Wade Davis, I think, is better than the situation last year when they had to pay heavily to get Aroldis Chapman at the deadline. So, you know, I like what the Cubs have. And they have guys in AAA that I think on 28 or 29 other teams would be in the major leagues right now. So they have the depth. I don't think they would use that depth at midseason to go out and make a big trade, but if it was for a controllable pitcher, you know, a Chris Archer, Jose Quintana, if he bounced back, Sonny Gray, if he was healthy in the Sonny Gray of a couple of years ago, those kind of guys, you know, they do have an appetite to add controllable starting pitching, and they have a lot of pieces to go get it. But I think they prefer to hang on to those pieces and, you know, just try to figure out how you can they already have really one extra regular between Zobrist and Javier Paez this year now that they have Kyle Schwarber healthy. But I think they'd like to figure out how you can have a major league team with 12 or 13 regulars.
Boy, Phil Rogers with us, MLB.com. Phil, but Wrigley looks different. The bullpens are gone from the field. What about that? What does that look like?
Yeah, it's spooky, actually. And I don't quite go back to the lights there, but I go back to when they put suites there and moved the press box, which is probably the early 90s. Lights went in 88. And there's all this angst about any change they make. And once you sat there and seen two or three games in the new park, it's like it was always there. You know, the video boards were the biggest change to the aesthetics, to the dynamics, the fact that you have, you know, the announcements and you have the camera showing the fans. And, you know, it's all been good. You know, and I go back, nothing crazier in my time that, you know, that I thought than the Green Monster seats at Fenway Park. When I heard about that, I just couldn't get over it. It sounded like it was going to be the worst thing ever. And they put them in there in such a way that it seems natural. And they've kind of done that at Wrigley Field. You know, you go there now, and it was crazy because really up to opening day, they didn't have the Cubs' home opener was a week after opening day. And as happens every year with their renovations, they are pushing till the very last hour. You know, they were working around the clock. Lights were on at the ballpark all night, many months this winter, and they got lucky that they had good weather to do it. But, you know, it looks like the same place, really, when you're in there. And I do like to look down and see what's going on in the bullpens. You can't do that. They promised us monitors in the press box where we could see the bullpens. I think maybe the broadcasters have it, but the writers don't have it. Huh. So you're dependent on them announcing on the scoreboard, on the video board, or otherwise what's going on in the bullpens to really know what's going on. So I do miss it. I think, you know, San Francisco, Oakland, Tampa Bay now are the only three ballparks where they had the bullpens down the sides. And I liked it, but I don't think it's really changed the nature of anything there.
Boy, interesting. Phil Rogers joining us, MLB.com. I agree with you. When you're following a game, you want to see who's warming up. They'll have to change that. I think that's going to have to change so you guys can see it. But the Central has Eric Thames. And this is a guy who comes over from Korea, 3 years there, learns how to hit the breaking ball. And he's gone wild, 7 or 8 home runs. And all of a sudden, the Cubs start chirping. John Lackey says, what do you mean the guy's got that many home runs? That's kind of odd. And he winks. And Bazio says something. Sour grapes by the Cubs?
Well, it's interesting. I read that national take on that. But I heard far more, I heard far more respect from the Cubs toward Thames. Chris Bryant was effusive in saying, this is the kind of guy I want to get with and hit with in the winter. He lives in Vegas where I live. I want to get him out to my cage. We could work out together. Joe Madden, extremely respectful. So, I think that was kind of taking, it was taking a little bit of something, a little bit of rope and running it out to make it as if the Cubs were accusing Eric Thames of PEDs, which is what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, Lackey was. And, Bossy, I mean, they didn't, they may not have said it directly. I guess they don't want to get hit with a slander lawsuit, but, they were certainly implying it.
Yeah, they didn't say it directly. They may have implied it.
They implied it. Yeah.
There's testing, Marty. Do guys get away with doing it? Yes. But are guys tested? Yes. And Eric Thames has talked about, and Bob Nightingale's piece on Eric Thames last week talked about being sought out for random testing. And this guy is just a really good hitter. And yeah. I talked to him in Arizona, and I was curious, like everybody else, to see how the success he had in Korea would translate. But my impression talking to him in Arizona was very positive. I talked to him again last week at Wrigley. Again, very positive. And, I think he was a good hitter, a good athlete. Pepperdine guy. Pepperdine, he was a senior draft out of Pepperdine.
He's from the Bay Area.
Right. And, I think he was a guy that was in and out of lineups when he was in the big leagues. And then he spent a full year in AAA, and that's what prompted him to go to Korea. And talking to him in spring training, what he told me was, he did not get off to a good start in Korea. And I think he totally figured it out. And, he shortened his swing. He figured out how to cut down the length of his swing. And also the reason he had to go to Korea was he was a fastball hitter who struggled against breaking balls. And Korea is a breaking ball league, the KBO. And so he learned in Korea how to hit breaking balls. He also got into meditation, visualization. I think he fully dedicated himself to, for his own mental well-being and then also his baseball. I think he figured out a full routine that works for him. And then the question coming back to the major leagues was, can he hit fastball velocity? Because the velocity of pitchers in the major leagues is much higher than the KBO, and so that's going to be his vulnerability. And 3 of his first 6 home runs were on 95 or 96 mile an hour fastballs, including one from a Reds left-hander, Wandy Peralta, who's sort of a new thing, but he is nasty. And, Peralta was, Thames was like amazed that he hit this pitch. He was like looking for a slider out over the on the outside part of the plate, and he got an inside fastball and somehow had the bat speed to turn on it and homer. Now, could he test positive? Sure. But I don't think it's fair to him to put that over him. And I'm 100% sure when I say this, the overwhelming feeling in the Cubs clubhouse was this guy is a great hitter. Give him credit.
All right. Well, good. Well, Lackey is a character anyway. We know that when things go wrong. He'll look the other way and say a bunch of stuff.
Hey, Marty, that it's not just Eric Thames that's fun to watch with that Brewers team, though.
Yeah, let me ask you, and I know they've got a great farm system. Let me ask you this: Ryan Braun's a 10-5 guy in about a month from today. Do the Brewers try to trade him before he has full veto rights? And he's off to a good start.
You know, I think if they got the right return, they would. I don't know how far out they are away from competing. They're a little bit like the Cubs in that they've assembled more hitters than young pitchers. So I don't know if they feel like they can get their pitching in shape to compete, but their lineup, you know, the catcher they got from the Angels, Jet Bandy, is for a catcher, this guy can really hit. The Angels decide they wanted to pitch Framer, so they got away from Bandy, who wasn't that good at that. But he can really hit. And, you look around, they have Jonathan Villar hasn't done much this year. RC is going to be good. Oh, I love the third baseman, Travis Shaw from the Red Sox. At Miller Park, this guy is going to be a really good player there for 2 or 3 years. So I think the Brewers might be caught in the middle of, are we good enough with this lineup that if we go out and fix the pitching a little bit or patch up the pitching, can we compete quick enough that we could still have Ryan Braun in the mix? So I think they would have to get a really good offer. I don't think they're just going to trade him to move the contract.
Mm-hmm.
But if they could get a really good offer, they could. But I'm going to watch a lot of Brewers games this year. They're doing some really interesting things.
Yeah, they were my dark horse pick early in the season. I thought just because of all the young people coming up. So we'll see how it turns out. Phil, Madison Bumgarner is on the shelf. He's on the DL and kind of, in the baseball world, we see all these odd injuries from time to time. This is one of those oddities. What's the feedback? What's the fallout in the Midwest to Bumgarner? What's your take on it?
Well, what I hear are a lot of people saying, what an idiot. You know, how could you be riding a dirt bike in the middle of baseball season? That's what you hear, and that he's let down his teammates, let down his organization. I'm a little sympathetic toward the players that they're people, too, and they want to go out and do things that they do. And without knowing the particulars of the dirt bike, I mean, I doubt he was doing the X game jumps and all the other stuff you can do on a dirt bike. If there wasn't just total recklessness in how he was driving it, I would have some sympathy that, a guy ought to be able to go up and blow off some steam in the off season or on an off day. It's too bad the way it's turned out. And I don't know that it has to be a crippling blow for the Giants. Matter of fact, I'm sure it doesn't because, while Johnny Cueto didn't pitch very well last night, he's going to pitch well a lot. And yes, they lost their ace, but they're one of the few teams that might have a co-ace. And if Cueto can step up and pitch well, it definitely puts onus on all the other starters, on Samardzija, Matt Moore has been off to a little disappointing start, if you ask me. I watching him at the end of last year, his start against the Cubs in the playoffs, I had big expectations for him, and he's kind of been on again, off again. Kane's got to hold up, or Ty Block, one of the young guys has to come up. But I would not totally write them off just because of Madison Bumgarner, because they do have another stud there in Johnny Cueto.
No, I agree, and that's sort of what we talked about today. Phil, great to have you on as always. Giants, Cubs in the not-too-distant future, and all the excitement of Wrigley, I'm sure, has spilled over to this year. And love having you on, and it's great just to catch up with you, so I appreciate it.
Thanks very much, Marty. Always enjoy it.
All right, very good. Phil Rogers, MLB.com. More coming up, 808 KMBR and the Sports Leader.